As we study through the Psalms, we come to Psalm chapter 17. This is a prayer that David prayed. He put it in the music, of course. And he starts out this way. He says, "Hear the right. O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." David is being pursued by King Saul. As he is writing Psalm 17, David's life is in danger. It's not going well for David. And he cries out to God again. Now you'll see this over and over through the Psalms. And there are 150 of them. And many of them will be direct prayers. I mean, literal crying out to God. You're going to hear over and over again, through the 150 Psalms, you're going to hear many times, "Help me, I'm in trouble. Listen to me when I cry. Look this way while I'm talking," he says. That's exactly what he's saying. He's not claiming that he is sinless, like many Christians like to claim. He's not claiming that at all. But that he is being chased and that he is being threatened in his innocence. Or in another way to say that is, I haven't done anything wrong to Saul, yet he is after my life. Now you probably remember reading through the book of 1 Samuel, and in 2 Samuel, but in 1 Samuel, you remember that David ran from Saul, hid from Saul for about 10 years. 10 years. Take a look, if you're old enough, at the last 10 years of your life. And you would think, well, you know, yeah, there's been some really good times. There are a couple times there when things were tough. But over the last 10 years, maybe the good has outweighed the bad. Or maybe it's been fun. Maybe it's been a real slice of heaven. Maybe out of it. Listen, think about 10 years of hiding every day, fearing that this may be the day that your enemy gets you and puts you to death. Because for 10 years, David ran away and he hid, trying to stay alive. He even went so far as to go down to the enemy and to live with the Philistines for a while. The enemies. He killed Goliath. And there he is, living with the enemy. You know you're in trouble when you wake up one morning and you are living with the enemy. You know that. The prayer, David says, comes from his heart. Chapter 17 of the book of Psalms, Psalm 17, he says, it comes from my heart. Not out of feigned lips. Feigned means, faked. Insincerity. That's how many prayers are offered to God. We know it. We don't boast about it. We're ashamed of it. But the truth is, that's how many prayers are offered to God. They are offered with feigned lips. They're fake. Oh God, bless this food. Amen. Let's eat. You know, there was nothing from the heart saying, "Thank you for providing this." It was insincere. Now, praise God, you've never prayed a prayer like that. But many people do. "Oh Lord, you got to help me on this test. All that means is I didn't study. Lord, I'll give you that 50 I owe you if you get me out of this jam. Lord, I'm really sorry I did that." And you're saying "I'm sorry I did it," but no, normally we're saying, "I'm sorry you caught me." I remember President Clinton being sorry he was caught. He wasn't sorry for what he did. He was sorry that you figured it out. That's not repentance. That's insincerity. And David said, "I cry out to you." He says, "Hear the right," or the righteous. "O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips." I am crying in sincerity. I have noticed, and I've mentioned it to you, probably you've noticed it too. Your most sincere prayers are when you are really up against it, aren't they? I mean, when something has gone drastically wrong, Has anything gone drastically wrong in your life maybe over the last 6 months? I hope so. If not, don't worry. It's coming. It will. So that you get a chance and I get a chance to call out, I'm not kidding. I'm serious here. Whoa. And you even start praying when you thought you would eat instead. It's lunchtime. I'm not going to eat right now, man. I got some serious business. I'm in trouble. That's what he's saying. This isn't insincere. This is from the depths of my heart. I am seriously saying, please listen to me. And he goes on. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. He is willing. Now, you know, and we get ourselves, I've been here, and I wish we could get here more often without having to be crushed into it. He says, he's willing that the Lord would look at both sides and judge honestly. Now, you know, I don't pray that a lot. Don't give me justice, Lord. Mercy! Just give me mercy. Don't look at both sides and see who's right. Just have mercy on me, is what I pray. That's a smart thing to do. Trust me. You say, you're copping out. Hey, listen, I'm giving you good advice. Mark it down. Don't ask for justice. You know, I hear too many people say, I don't think God is fair. I don't think you want him to be fair right now. I think you want him to be nice. I don't think you want him to go, all right, well, if you want me to be fair, you are wrong. Go to hell. No, I don't want that in my life. I want mercy. Don't give me what I got coming. Give me mercy. And that's what he's saying. He's willing that the Lord would look at both sides and make an honest judgment. Whoa. Thou hast proved mine heart. Okay, there's key right there. Underline that. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. David says, you have examined my heart already. I can't hide anything from you. Oh my goodness, Christian, do you know that? We can't hide anything from him. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to get away with it. David says, I am willing that you would handle this because there is nothing I can hide from you. You have judged my heart already. You know my heart. God said about David, by the way, about David's heart, God said he is a man after my own heart. You've examined my heart. You have tested me already, he says. And I have resolved or purposed that I want to follow you and not sin. Isn't that amazing? You've proved my heart. You visited me in the night. You have tested me or tried me, and you shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I want to do things your way. I have decided, purposed. The word I used earlier, resolved. You haven't yet, if you're still back and forth. No, I don't think you'll be perfect, neither will I. We're not going to be perfect this side of heaven. But have you yet resolved? We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Have you decided it yet? David says, I've resolved. I have purposed in my own heart. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, at around 14 to 15 years old, he purposed in his heart, he resolved that he would not defile himself with the food that the king was serving him. He was just a little captive slave there in Babylon, about 14 to 15 years old. He purposed. Have you done that yet? Somebody says, well, you have to be a certain age. No, you have to be a certain heart. It's got nothing to do with time in grade or longevity of any sort. It's got everything to do with heart. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's after me to kill me. I'm asking you to hear me. You know my heart already. There's nothing hidden from you. You've tested me already. I have resolved, purposed, that I'm going to say the right things and do the right things. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of destroyer, of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not, or don't slip. He says, by God's strength, David has kept himself from the ways of those that destroy. It was by God's strength that David has been able to remain on the correct path. Do you know that there were a few times, go back and read through 1 Samuel, there are a few times David has an opportunity to kill the king and has every right to do so and doesn't do it. What did he say? By God's strength, David has kept himself from the ways of those that destroy. How many of you have been hurt recently? Deeply hurt. And then you were given a chance to hurt back. Someone comes along and says, oh, you know, you could do this. You could do that. The law says, it was your business partner, or it was your husband or wife, or it was a someone in school, and you've got every right. You could kill him. David had Saul right there because Saul went in the cave to cover his feet. In our language, that means he went to the restroom. He was in no position to defend himself. David was right there, hiding inside that cave. And when Saul was in the cave, David took and cut a piece of Saul's robe off. And when Saul left and was gone a little ways, David came out and held it up and said, I could have killed you. I had you. The Lord delivered you into my hands. I cut this off. Saul looked down and thought, well, a piece of the robe missing. Whoa, that was close. Could have killed him and no one would have ever known. But he says, I have purposed. I want to follow you. I want to say what's right. I want to do what's right. I have not gone in the ways of the those that destroy, or the destroyer. Now you bring that up to our Christian life today. Who is the destroyer? I'm sure that you all know that Satan, the devil, is the one called the destroyer. He is the destroyer, and we are to keep, we're learning, we want a purpose and keep out of his ways. His ways come natural to us. You know, an eye for an eye and many teeth for a tooth. That's natural. It makes sense. Someone, you know, hits you, you hit them back, only you hit them harder and with something bigger. And then when they hit you, then you bomb them. And then when they bring out bombs, you get bigger. And the whole world goes that way. Now you've become a Christian. And you say, I am a Christian. I've decided to follow Jesus. Then you don't go in the way of the destroyer. And David says, hold up my goings. Help me. This is hard. It's hard not to kill Saul. I've had a couple of chances. There'll probably be others. The guy keeps stepping into it. He says, hold up my goings that my footsteps don't slip. Don't let me slide into the ways of the destroyer. Don't let me slide back into the ways of the world. Don't let me slide into that kind of thinking and that kind of action. Help me walk that I may walk steady and not fall or slide back down. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Christ. Lest, or unless, Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul says, I forgive everything. You forgive everything, I forgive. We forgive it all. Why? Because Satan is tricky. When have you heard Christians, not non-Christians, leave them out because I expect them to do this. Have you heard Christians lately saying, I cannot forgive this? Have you, or a Christian say, I will never forgive that? Have you heard that? Paul says, we can't be that way. No, no, no. That's one of Satan's tricks. He's got you. It's going to hurt you. Forgive. Lest Satan should get advantage over you. And remember, he's the destroyer. David says, I won't walk in the path of the destroyer. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure you know this one, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on that armor. So that you can stand against the tricks of the devil. And so that, like the psalmist says in 17, hold up my goings in your paths that my footsteps do not slip. Don't let me slide into the ways of those that destroy. Let me remain with you. I've called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear unto me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O thou that saves by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. His prayer was based on, notice, God's love. He says, I call upon you, for you will hear me, O God. You'll hear me. I know you will. Why? Because you're good. You are merciful. God is loving. See, his prayer is based on God's love and based on God's faithfulness. I know you'll hear. And based on God's mercy. I know you'll do what's right. I'll know you'll do because I'm wanting to be with you, because I belong to you. I know that you'll do what is good for your glory. He says, because of your love, because of your faithfulness, because of your mercy, I know you will hear me. Notice, God's love, everyone, is revealed in the fact that he saves those that put their trust in him. Did you hear that? God's love is revealed in the fact that he saves those that put their trust in him. If you say, I don't feel like God loves me, then someone should look at you and say, open your Bible to the Gospels and look at Jesus on the cross. God saves those who put their trust in him. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for the sins of the world. You come to Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You're saved for those who put their trust in him. God is good. And I'm telling you right now, everything is going to be all right in him. Do you believe that? Have you put your trust in God? Put your trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. Have you done that? Or are you still waiting to see how this is all going to turn out? I don't know. If I win the lottery, I don't think I'll really need to put my trust in anything. I'll buy everything. Have you put your trust in the Lord? Have you purposed in your heart, as the psalmist is teaching us? What a prayer. Verse 8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. The apple of his eye, it was a term very common, a term used very commonly in those days. It means the very center of your eye, which you and I would call the pupil of your eye. And the pupil of your eye, basically, where the light is allowed to come in. That's what was known as the apple, the very center of the eye, the apple of the eye. What he's saying is this. What a prayer request. Keep me in the very center of your attention. Keep paying attention to me, please. Have you ever thought about saying that to God? Really? Have you ever thought about saying, God, would you please keep paying attention to me? Keep your eye right here. Right here. Look here. You say that to your children. Look at me when I'm talking to you. My parents say that all the time. But both of them talking, you don't know what to do. Keep me in the very center of your attention. Keep your eyes directly on me, please. Watch me, God. And then the shadow of your wings. God doesn't have wings, in case you didn't know. God's not some big chicken. like some people think, you know. Colonel Sanders is glad too, I'm sure. Shadow of your wings literally means under your protection, under your care, always. Keep your eyes on me. Keep looking at me and continue to keep me under your protection, just as you promised. It's a prayer request he's praying. It says, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in the secret places. I'm surrounded by my enemies. I'm surrounded by wicked people. I'm surrounded by wickedness. Wickedness is everywhere I turn. Man, he could have lived in Idaho. You know that? He could have, or Washington. Just take a look at the headlines of the world today. He could have lived right now. He said, everywhere I turn, no matter where I look, it's ugly. My enemy, I'm surrounded. You go downtown and you're wanting to do something that's right and people think you're nuts. You're not allowed to bring Jesus up. I notice now it's really hard to get on a jury. If you say anything about Jesus, you're off that jury. That's how I stay off. Well, I'm a Christian, by the way. I think Jesus is Lord. Don't you? We can't use him. No, I don't think he's a little to the right there. Never to the left, always to the right. Yes. I'm surrounded by wickedness. They're trying to destroy David and his men. Notice the enemies are. They're like a lion stalking after its prey. Lions will follow that prey a long way, and they're real patient, and they'll wait, and they'll wait. And David says, I can't get away from them. And they continue to surround me, and wickedness is everywhere. And you and I could pray the same thing today. Everywhere I turn, Lord, people don't want to do it right. People want to cheat. They want to steal. I mean, you can't believe the things that are going on in court. I was following that trial where the dogs have mauled this lady, kind of ate her up. And they're trying to decide what to do. And now there's a big fight on. They put one of the dogs to sleep. And now there's a big fight. Why do you want to put the other one to sleep? It only killed a person. And so the animal rights people, money's being spent on this. Money is the weirdest thing. I just read a little article about NASA, when they were sending our guys up into space, they learned that at zero gravity, pens won't write. Ink won't come out. So they spent over 10 years and $13 billion to invent a pen that writes at zero gravity. You know what the Russians did? Used a pencil. $13 billion. And I'm thinking, oh my Lord, look at us. We've become a laughingstock, proclaiming themselves to be wise. They became fools, the book of Romans says. How embarrassing. We're trying to decide what to do with an animal. I mean, there was a news article today that was great because an eagle, and they're protected. What could you do? They're in northern Maine, swooped down and picked up a dachshund. I can't say dachshund. I can't speak German. Eagle swoops down, picks it up, thinking it's a big rat or something. And if you have one of those, yours doesn't look that way. This one did. The eagle picks it up and takes it into the sky, and at somewhere, they figure somewhere around near 300 feet, the eagle thinks, wait a minute, this is not a rat or nothing, and dropped the poor dog. And the owner didn't know what to do, because you can't shoot the eagle, because it's protected. So now you're going to have a big court case, and they're going to fight this out. And if that dog dies, there's going to be some unhappy people. And I think, oh Lord, what do we do? We'll get a pen that writes at zero gravity. We'll have eagles who, they got such a sharp eyesight, but dogs are being so weird now that maybe that dog had a little coat on and he thought it was a squirrel or something. I don't know. And I'm thinking the things that are important are being shoved aside by the bizarre in our lives anymore. The wickedness is surrounding us and we can't get out from under it. Help us, Lord. Keep your eyes on us, please. Don't take your eyes off of us and keep us, hide us under the shadow of your wings, under your protection. Verse 13 says, Arise, O Lord, disappoint him. That's my enemy. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord. From men of the world, which have their portion in his life, and whose belly thou fill with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and they leave the rest of their substance, to their babes, to their kids. He says, rise up, O Lord, and ruin their plans. And of course, he mentions again, we've seen it already, we're going to see it many times. They seem to get everything they want. The wicked seem to get what they're after. By hook, what's the cliche, isn't it? Or by crook, they get it. They cheat, they steal, they lie, they go to court and they'll just lie right out loud in front of everyone in the place. And they don't care who knows it. And when they're caught in a lie, they'll look at you and say you're judging and they walk off free. And he says, they seem to get everything they want. They have lots of kids. And if they don't get what they want, they take it by force. They get their own way by lying and cheating and stealing and even murdering. I read today that young lady, Yates, was found guilty of drowning her children. And today they had to decide what her fate would be. She didn't get the death penalty. She got life in prison. So she has to do a minimum of 40 years in prison. And so now the fight has begun in the news. That is cruel and inhumane to put someone away for 40 years. And I think, here we go. I wonder how many millions will be spent on this when people are starving to death around the world. And here we go. Because see, the wicked don't follow the Lord. And notice that this life is all they've got. They have lots of children sometimes and lots of stuff. But it's going to be gone. And so what does he say? As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I look at the wicked and I can't believe what they're doing and how they're getting away with what they're getting away with. Some of them even call themselves Christians. They even go to church. But they're living outright open sin. Some of them have an insanity plea, at least for the moment. And the psalmist says, when I look at them, I see them getting away with it. They murder and walk away from it and nothing happens. And he says, so I'm asking you, God, please don't take your eyes off. Keep your eyes right on me. Hide me under your protection. See, there is no place to go if God is not protecting you or defending you. And I think that you are experiencing, and I know it's throwing you for a loop, you're experiencing it right inside the church. Church people are literally hurting you, disobedient to the Lord. Oh, don't worry, they're spirit-filled. They got all the gifts. They're just liars and cheaters and murderers and thieves. Doo-dah, doo-dah. As a policeman, and I know some of you hate it when I tell stories, go ahead, close your ears. We went to Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, on the Sundays that I didn't work when I could go to church. And sometimes at night, it was a hard time out there. It was like playing a football game with no subs. I mean, you worked hard, you sprinted, you wrestled with some mean people, you got spit on, you got blood all over you. I used to tell my wife that if anyone ever is going to come up with AIDS, I am, with all the blood that has been all over me and people spitting on me and everything, and just some of the garbage that I saw. And I would, some of these people were mean people. I'm telling you, and some of you know this, there are some mean people out there.
when I'd come to church on Sunday morning. And we'd be sitting there praising God, but I couldn't praise. I'd say, Gene, what? We're praising. Shh. See that guy in the front row with his arms raised up high? Yeah, I arrested him last night for beating his wife up. And now he's on the front row this morning. It took me about 7 hours of paperwork. And he's on the front row with his hands raised praising God. I have a hard time believing that he's even born again. I listened to what he said to me and how he treated me last night, just a few hours ago. Maybe I'll go up to him, see how he's doing today. It was a shock to my system to see so-called believers living lives that were fake. And certainly I couldn't cast the first stone because we are all sinners. But since then, I've seen it time and time again. Now it doesn't shock me anymore. Now I kind of figure that's the way it's going to go. According to Scripture, that's the way it's going to go. And as Jesus gets closer and closer to his return, which ought to be any moment, you're going to see more and more turn and walk away. More and more will turn and they will walk away. Forget this, the visions that all these people are having about great revival. That's not in the Word of God. I would love to say it is, but I'm sorry. What the Word of God has said is just the opposite of that. So you can believe these visions people are telling you, but I'm telling you, God's Word says, Jesus asks, when the Son of Man returns, will he even find the faith on the earth? And the question was asked in the negative. You're seeing more. You are becoming, if you're born again and truly wanting to serve God, you are becoming a rare bird. As a matter of fact, you're headed for extinction. Jesus will come and get his church. And he says to the church at Philadelphia, and you can read the book of Revelation, read chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches. He says to that church, he says, because you have a little strength left, I'm going to take you. I'll keep you from the hour that's coming to try the earth. Because that church has what? A little strength left. Go back and read that letter. There is nothing negative said about the church at Philadelphia. And they're weak. And the psalmist says it here. Please, keep your eye right on me. Keep me in the center of your attention. I beg you. Because of all that's happening around me. Keep me in the center of your attention. Hide me. Protect me. From the violence and the wickedness and the ugliness that's happening all around me. Don't let my feet slide down into the same thing. Because I have that tendency. Please don't let me go that way too. Let me be real. What did he say earlier on in the psalm? I've purposed. Have you purposed? Have you purposed? Have you given your life to the Lord? Is it real? Was it genuine? Was it sincere from your heart? People ask us, I get quite a few questions just because of the way we do things. They're usually not questions, they're usually statements. Matter of fact, I've received a few emails just in the last few days asking why we don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Very interesting question. Not do you believe, but why don't you? So, That explains to me something. That's what others are telling them. And my guess is they're telling them that because we take our services and we go verse by verse through the Scripture. And because we do that, people are telling others we don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Interesting how this all works. We'll be covering that in 1 Corinthians on Sundays if you can't make it. You got $2, you can have a tape. And we'll talk about it then, but I don't think it'll do any good. I don't think people will still believe. Perception is reality in this world, isn't it? You know something? The sign that you're born again is not the noise that you make. The sign that you're born again is not the power that you may have. The sign that you truly are born again and that you truly have God's Holy Spirit is what? Jesus said, the love that you have for one another. There it is. You will not see it in the loud wind or in the rain or in the thunder, in the lightning or in the earthquake. Where was that voice of the Lord? Elijah found it in that still, small voice when everything was silent. Don't you let anybody lead you astray. Don't you be fooled. The Bible is the key to this whole thing. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We are to learn the entire whole counsel of God. And you haven't gotten it if you haven't read the whole thing. And that's why we're going through it. Slowly but surely, all the way through it. When was the last time you got a book off the shelf? Read chapter 1, read chapters 33 and 34, and then went and read the end and walked around telling everybody, I've read this book and I know what it says. You've never done that because you don't know what the book says. You haven't read it. I think Christians haven't read their Bibles. I think they don't know what it says. When was the last time someone wrote you a 5 or a 6 or a 7 page letter and you read the first sentence in it and the last paragraph of that letter and you say, okay, I know what this letter says. You don't know what it says because you didn't read it. You didn't even take the time to read it. I think we're in trouble. And I think the psalmist's prayer fits so well here. We're in trouble. We're surrounded by wickedness. The destroyer is after you. You're a Christian. You're claiming to be a Christian. And so the destroyer is after you. Anything he can do, anything God will allow in your life, it'll happen. If God allows it in your life, it is for good. It is for his glory. Running high behind Romans chapter 8. And God gives you everything you need to do the job he's given you to do. And so he prays. Because of your mercy, because of your love, hear me. Keep your eye. Keep me in the center of your attention. Keep your eye. Let me be the apple of your eye, the very center. And protect me and defend me, Lord. Because I have determined, decided. I just want to follow you. Just want to serve you. But I'm crying out to you for help. When things get difficult, cry out to the Lord. But don't ever get out of your Bible. And again, as we close now, what's the hardest thing for you to do throughout this past week? Or one of the hardest things? Find time to read your Bible. There is time for everything else under the sun. But for some reason, this Bible is a hard thing to read. Why do you think that is? Because the destroyer does not want you to be strong. The destroyer does not want you to know. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the enemy of your life, he doesn't want you to be strong. And you're seeing the church fall apart. You don't have to, but that's what we're seeing happen around us. And the church is attacking itself. We've got ministries calling people here, asking them to come there. Never in a million years would I ever dream of doing that to someone. I don't know why you would, but it's happening. Someone called me this week who had some terrible things to say behind my back. And you know better than to talk behind someone's back. It always goes back to them. Person says, hey, just want to call you and see how you were doing. I said, hey, I hear you've been telling lies behind my back. Oh, I would never. And I just smiled and said, yeah, never say never. What do you want? Well, I hear you've got another book coming out, 1 Samuel. Would you give me a copy? I don't want to pay for it. I want you to give it to me. Inside, you should have heard. Because I'm thinking things like, you have got a lot of nerve. But immediately I thought, you know, I'm feeling angry. And the anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. So this feeling is going to get me in trouble. Now, what would God want me to do? So I said to this person, I said, I'll give you the book. You can have it. I'd love to give it to you. He goes, I'm going to hold you to it. I said, you won't have to. I'll give it to you. Because I thought, that's just the opposite of what I feel like doing. And I would think that God says, return good for evil. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Pray for them. I think that probably you this week have had an opportunity to do just the opposite of what you felt like. Just the opposite of what your heart was telling you to do. Sometimes your head says, listen, do this. But then the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord says, no, that's not me. That's your feet are slipping into the ways of those that destroy. Go back and read through this. It's really short. It's only 15 verses. Read through it when you get some time. And pray this prayer from your heart sincerely. Lord, you got to help me. I'm weak. And I know you've tested my heart, tribe. You know what my heart's all about. There's no hiding it from you. Pray about these things. Read through it again. See if it's all there. Let's bow our heads.